We're going to talk just briefly about clothing. You can't tell a Christian by their clothes, because faith in Jesus isn't limited to any one particular culture. So when we submit our lives to Jesus, the first thing that Holy Spirit changes is unlikely to be our wardrobe. It's much more likely to be different aspects of our life. And we're going to talk mostly, almost exclusively about the spiritual, but we'll use a few examples of physical clothing to illustrate the spiritual points. And the first point is this, that we are inadequately clothed. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 reads, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags." All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. It's the ultimate case of being underdressed. When I met the Queen at St. George's, I wore a red and grey t-shirt. But it didn't count because I was sitting at a table in the role of a student. If I was summoned to meet the Queen, then I would wear, well, I wouldn't wear my best clothes. I'd probably borrow my brother's best clothes, or I'd find one of you here with some better clothes than me and wear your clothes. But if we were summoned to meet a judge, if we had to appear in court, we'd probably put on our best clothes. You often see people, celebrities maybe, or anybody, having to appear before a judge, and they'll be wearing what looks like their best suit. And what this verse says is that if we put on our very best clothes, if we put on our very best show in front of God, it'll be no more impressive than standing before a judge in filthy rags. So of ourselves, we can't please God. Of ourselves, we don't impress God at all, let alone much. The best we have is very poor. But if you turn a few chapters back in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. You might well know the chapter. Jesus quoted it at the beginning of his ministry. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me." And in verse 10 we read, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." Of ourselves, we can't please God. Of ourselves, we don't impress God. But God has clothed us with salvation and righteousness. If you watch tennis, you might have seen the Wimbledon final, the Wimbledon men's final. And after a long five-set match, the sweaty top worn for the battle on the pitch is often replaced by a clean, crisp shirt. Why? Because the victorious player is going to receive the trophy from the Duke and Duchess of Kent. So the filthy, sweaty, smelly top is replaced by a clean, crisp shirt. And we don't impress God with what we have, but he, if we give him the opportunity, will replace what we have with what is his, salvation and righteousness. So if we're clothed with salvation and righteousness, what does that mean? I'm going to give you a quick example. Before Shofar became tenants of the leisure centre here, I used to come and swim. I don't come so often anymore, but still have occasion to do that. And one time, Sally and I were both in the hospital. We weren't at home, and family were coming to visit. And the neighbours we knew at that time weren't around during the day. So we decided to leave our keys with staff at the leisure centre here. They didn't particularly know me very much. And the family members wondered if that was not so wise. But what we realised was that because of the uniform, because The person with whom we were leaving the keys was known and identified as a member of staff at the leisure centre. Then for them to do anything illegal with our keys would be worth more than their job. It would cost them their job. And that's often why people trust someone in a uniform. I haven't, until I started wearing my street pastor uniform, since I left school, I haven't had cause to wear a uniform. But it is interesting that wearing a uniform gives you a certain image, not even an image, but a certain place, a place where people will trust you. So why should people be able to trust us as Christians? It's because we risk our witness to the Lord Jesus if we don't keep our word. So if we claim the name of Jesus, if we say that we're a child of God, if we follow Jesus, then we have a responsibility and an obligation to live as Jesus lived. So Holy Spirit might not change our wardrobe when we allow him to have access to our lives. But what he will change in each one of us is the way that we live. People should be able to tell that we're Christian by the way that we live. We've been clothed in salvation and righteousness. Therefore, we need to remember what we're wearing when we consider the choices that we make. The third clothing is clothing Jesus. Again, just a few chapters back, if you're in Isaiah. Isaiah 58 and verse 7. Verses 6 and 7. It's in the context of what true fasting is. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away your own flesh, turn away from your own flesh and blood. Jesus told us that life is more important than clothes. You'll find that in Matthew 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount. But God knows also that physical clothes are necessary. So related to what Shelley shared when we have the offering, the dilemma we have is often not do we have enough, but we have too much. So what clothes do we wear? And if you find that you've got too many clothes, if you find that you're spending too long on deciding what to wear, then give a few away because it takes away the decision. It'll free up more space in your home. But very seriously, many people don't have food, clothing, or shelter. So we can give to other people, but how is that clothing Jesus? Well, in Matthew chapter 25, reading from verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, Jesus is speaking, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. So when we clothe other people, then we're clothing Jesus. I mentioned last week, Elke talked for a few minutes about compassion and the link that our church has with churches in Ghana, with a church in Ghana. And we had the opportunity, and we still do have the opportunity, to take the total number of sponsored children for the three congregations up to 100. And we talked last week, I preached on release. Compassion's strapline is releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. But we also can release Jesus from poverty because Jesus himself said that what we do for the least of those, we do to him. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, I'll read verses 13 and 14. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I use both verses 13 and 14 because it makes a contrast. Not this, not orgies or drunkenness, but clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Mark chapter 5, Jesus healed a demon-possessed man. We read, you might know the story well. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained, hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. And then Jesus had a conversation with this man. Then he sent the demons into the pigs. And we read in verse 15, when the people in the town came to see what had happened, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. Dressed and in his right mind. In complete contrast to his previous behavior, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And that's making a picture of him as a disciple of Jesus. There's one commentary, Albert Barnes, has a New Testament commentary. Most of it is on the internet. And he says that the phrase to be clothed with Jesus or to put on Jesus might seem harsh in our language, but it means to imbibe his principles, to imitate his example, to copy his spirit, to become like him. Thus, to put on, to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus means to take him as a pattern and guide, to imitate his example, to obey his precepts, to become like him. We all need to become like Jesus. We all need to become more like Jesus because it's a process that takes time. Just as clothes we put on each day we need to clothe ourselves with Jesus. So maybe even this week, as you get dressed in the morning, think about what being clothed with Jesus, spiritually speaking, will mean for you as you go about whatever it is God has for you that day. We're going to look very quickly at two specific ways in which we clothe ourselves with Jesus. The first is in Galatians chapter 3. Clothed with Jesus in baptism. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. I've mentioned if I was meeting the Queen, I'd probably borrow some clothes. And I often borrow my brother's designer jacket when I go to weddings. But Sally and myself, we went to a wedding in Sri Lanka recently, but my brothers were also there, including the one who has the jacket. So only one of us could wear the jacket. And a choice had to be made. You're imagining it, I can tell. So I'm going to leave the story there. But this is the point. If we wear Jesus, then it has to be a choice. If we choose to clothe ourselves with Jesus, then we've got to take off our own self, our own nature. Now, you might get away with wearing two jackets if you're over your luggage allowance at the airport and you put on as many of your heavy clothes as you can. You might get away with it then. But you would look silly if you turned up at a wedding wearing two jackets or two dresses. And you'd look even more silly if you turned up at your own wedding as the bride wearing two dresses. Suzette's not going to do that. She's chosen, I imagine, a dress, and she's going to wear one. She made a choice and then follows through with the implications of that choice. Some of us try to be part of church, try to be the bride of Jesus, but we try to hang on to our worst clothes as well as wearing the wedding dress with which Jesus wants to clothe us. It doesn't make sense. We learned at the beginning that our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We wouldn't do it. We'd get rid of them, we'd have a shower, and then we'd wear what Jesus gives us. And that's maybe why some Christians have a problem with baptism. I know a few Christians who come to faith in Jesus, but it takes them a considerable length of time before they're willing to be baptized. Jesus' claim on our life, in our life, it's exclusive. He says, if you follow me, then you have to say no to following your own way. I'm not going to repeat the Bible school module on baptism. You can now do Bible school by module. So if you want to find out a bit more about the theology of baptism, why we practice it the way we do here by immersion, then take opportunity to do that. Elaine's going to be baptized this afternoon. She's choosing to put off her own self and to put on our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you haven't been baptized, then ask yourself why. Talk with your home group leader. Come and speak with myself or Sally. There's probably something that God wants to do, which is simply surrender. He wants you to surrender to him, to take off that which is our own dirty, filthy rags, and allow him to clothe us with salvation and righteousness. But specifically, if you haven't been baptized, then do. And if you want to know what the qualification is, it's belief. We read in Galatians, we're sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. If you have faith in Christ Jesus, then you qualify for baptism. Just one second specific way in which we clothe ourselves with Christ, and that's in humility. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then 1 Peter 5, we've already read some of this, Yaku read earlier. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humility is a choice. We have to humble ourselves before God. He won't humble ourselves. We need to make that choice. Last week we considered release. We considered the forgiveness. The release that comes from forgiveness. And asking for forgiveness or receiving forgiveness requires humility. But as we said last week, if we're church living together, then there'll be times when we offend each other. It might be that we don't even know it. But if that's the case, if someone has offended you or if you know that you've offended somebody else, then either accept or give forgiveness as required. Humility is a choice. We've already had read from Philippians chapter 2, our example. Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. We're also clothed not just with Jesus, but with Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said in Luke 24, verse 49, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Why power? Didn't Jesus have power? Yes, but we've just read that Jesus came as a servant. Jesus said also in John 14, verse 12, that because he was going to the Father, those who have faith in him would do greater things than he did. And Holy Spirit is our example of powerful humility. He's powerful and he's not restrained in the way that Jesus restrained himself on earth. That's, I think, why we can do more or more powerful things, greater things than Jesus did. But he's humble because he doesn't take the glory for himself. He'll always refer us, point us to have our gaze not on him, although he's worthy as part of God. He'll always turn our gaze towards Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the Son. Or he'll turn our gaze towards Father, Almighty God. He doesn't want the glory for himself. If you meet with Jehovah's Witnesses or somebody else who asks you about the Trinity, the word doesn't appear in the Bible, but there are a few verses. This is one. If you want another, try Ephesians 2 and verse 18. But this is one where we see the three members of the triune God in relationship with each other. Jesus said, because he is going to the Father, which is where he is now, we will be clothed with power from on high, and that we're able, because of faith in him, to do greater things than he did. So we clothe ourselves with Jesus, we clothe ourselves with Holy Spirit. But I'm going to end with, you could say it's chilling, it's that we're clothed with armor. In other words, we're in a battle. I'm not going to say much about Ephesians chapter 6. I'll just read the verses. They'll also appear on the screen from verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. I'm not a soldier, but I imagine that humility as a soldier isn't a bad quality, because you'll know your limits, you'll know how you need those around you. And we're to clothe ourselves with humility as we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus. But we have a powerful humility. So we're given armor for protection and also to attack, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we need to remember, whether it's being involved in Sway Week at St. George's or in relationships with family or colleagues, that our fight is not physical. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we're in a war, but the battle has already been won. Not that we won the battle. Jesus won the battle. When and how? When he died on the cross. We're clothed with armor. We're in a fight. There'll be casualties. It's serious, not physical. It's spiritual. But the battle has been won. So just as in baptism we clothe ourselves with Jesus, when we have communion, we remember that the battle has been won, because we know that we have provision and protection through the blood of Jesus. As we get ready for communion, we'll stay as one group. But if you want to specifically, it could be to do with baptism, it could be even for the very first time, taking off your filthy rags, your unclean clothing, and replacing that with salvation and righteousness, then even as you've taken bread and wine, please come to the front and we'll pray for you, whatever the specific reason may be. We've already started this during the service in terms of praying for people who had needs. But if there's unfinished business to do with the need that was prayed for earlier, if you want to commit to being baptized, we won't baptize you today. When we've got the pool, we'll hire it another time and go through the joy of baptism with you. But just to say, if you're on a battlefield, then you need the armor. And whether we like it or not, there's a war going on for our lives and for our souls. So whether the picture is more sedate and serene of being dressed for your wedding, or more chilling, more active of being dressed ready for war, make sure that you have the clothing that you need. Jesus has made provision through his body and his blood. We have access to God as Father. Let's pray, and then we'll eat and drink together. God, you tell us that we have to examine ourselves before we join in communion. So God, as each one of us, preacher and hearers alike, look at our lives, God, we examine ourselves and we acknowledge that we fall and that we fail. But God, thank you that you save us. That you pick us up when we fall. You dust us down. And then you take us for rehabilitation and recuperation. But thank you that as we look at ourselves, we can see all the glory, the exalted and eternal glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice for us. And ask that you accept the sacrifices of our worship as we come before you to eat and to drink. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat and drink together. Please do come for prayer. We have oil to anoint for healing if you have need of healing. Either come to the front, one of the home group leaders or interns will pray with you. Or if you want to go to your home group leader, then please do that. Or even those around you. Within the body there is provision. To end, reading from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. From verse 3, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Lord God, we thank you that you are clothed with majesty and splendor, and that you have planted us so that we can display your splendor, not our own. God, we thank you for choosing us through whom to display your splendor. God, we ask that you will do that more and more. God, thank you that you wrap yourself in light as a garment, and that you stretch out the heavens like a tent. God, as we look upon you, we see how glorious you are. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are able to keep us from falling and to present us before God without fault, without blemish. Lord Jesus, we offer ourselves in the sacrifice of worship for you to display your splendor through us. Today and this week, in our lives and the lives of our family, so that the name of Jesus might be praised, in which we pray. Amen.